and you're finding and you're grabbing onto these external things and people that what people tell you to do. You're looking for an answer, for someone to tell you what to do to not be there anymore. And what we miss is the listening to what's happening on the inside.
Welcome to the Phase 4 podcast, inspired by Vishen Lakhiani and Ajit Nawalkar, co-founders of EverCoach, a division of Vine Valley. In this podcast, we speak to coaches and creatives about where they were, where they are, and where they are going. This is the intersection of what we focus on expands, and your story is your superpower. My guest today is Ada Undis. She is a soul-centered coach specializing in food and body freedom, and she's the creator of Find Your Happy Method. And today she's going to share all of this with us and more. And Ada, welcome to the podcast.
And thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here and to have a chance to chat and have a fun and powerful conversation.
Powerful indeed. Thank you. I always love to kind of start with how did you end up becoming that coach or end up in this space?
Sure. If you ask my mom, I was coaching since I was three, but I didn't know that until like 5 years ago. So I love the journey that got me here, because I never knew what I wanted to be when I grew up, even, you know, in the last like 5 years. And it what really got me here is it was a very innocent goal of weight loss that got me where I am today, because it inadvertently, instead of creating a more confident me, that goal and achieving that goal actually brought out all of the insecurities that I never knew existed, all of the stories, all of the beliefs that were placed societally on me. So even though I had a very societally accepted and celebrated body, that landed me in the darkest place I've ever been in my life. And instead of, you know, coming back into feeling confident and like myself and conquering the world, I ended up in a place that was very dark, filled with anxiety, filled with doubt, filled with zero self-worth whatsoever, or it being tied to my body, how I was eating, how I was exercising. And initially, I really wanted to help people help people navigate the fitness world. And through going through that dark period and losing myself to the fitness world, to nutrition, to exercise, I finally got through, and I mean, it's been five year journey of refinding who I am and refinding that confidence that I know was there. It just got lost and tangled and mangled, and finally to be on the other side where I actually never knew that unconditional confidence could actually exist in the way that it exists, and I can embody it now, where my body is a lot different than it was even before I started that innocent goal. And I really discovered so many things along the way, and it's so amazing to just reflect on the person that I found through these journeys. And even though no matter how hard it was, no matter how dark it was, there's a part of me that's really thankful for that part of my life, because it allows me to be here. And like I said, initially, I wanted to lose my weight myself and then start helping people to kind of navigate that world. And it evolved into such a much bigger thing where I get to not only embody that work myself, but also guide people to, as the tag says, find their own happy, refine themselves and feel confident in whatever body they have, in whatever life conditions they have, and really live life from that space.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. It sounds like quite the journey. And there's something there where I think sometimes we look at that diet culture or or the body, and it's like, we want it to be this way. And then, but you can get addicted in the same things. It sounds like that's what you're saying, where you go to the gym, you start eating the right foods, and then that becomes a new problem and addiction. And
exactly.
So, yeah, go ahead.
No, that's exactly what happened. I mean, it literally clouded my mind, like reprogrammed my mind in the non... I mean, I've learned a lot. I mean, you learn a lot about nutrition. I fell in love with exercise. I fell in love with lifting. Like, inadvertently, it opened up so many avenues that are beneficial, because it allowed me to see nutrition in a different way and exercise in a different way. And also, it did become an addiction. It became an obsession. I mean, the amount of days I spent crying because foods wouldn't fit into my app, or I couldn't take, you know, I wouldn't take 20,000 steps a day, or I couldn't work out. So it became a sense of self-worth. If I don't do this, then I'm not good enough, then I'm not doing well enough. And so I basically replaced, right? I replaced one thing for another. So find that worth didn't exist in my earlier body, and I placed it on top of my new body, and it still didn't work, because that's not the point. It was still external, and it got me even more lost. So the obsession and the addiction, it just switched places.
Yeah, I'm addicted to avocados for sure now.
Gotta love those avocados.
So what would you say to somebody who's feeling that? Because I'm definitely, you're not alone, and there's lots of people. You can just see comments on certain videos and diet culture and toxic diet culture and people feeling exactly what you just said. So how do you separate from that, step back from that, and how do you begin to change that?
Honestly, it really starts when you're like the feeling lost moment. So a lot of the times people like ask questions like, what, like if you knew something before, then what would you like to know before you started or ahead of the time? And I think I actually really like, I'm really thankful for all the dark times that happened. So if someone is listening to this and you're finding yourself in that dark hole, that is your cue that you're ready to start exploring it. And a lot of the times what people realize is, or what people don't realize, or what they think is happening, is that they have to get, like, when you're in that hole, when you're in that insecure hole, or that, you know, very obsessed space, you have to start getting rid of things. So getting rid of your insecurity, getting rid of the things that are not working. And partially that's true, because I had to let go of exercising. I had to let go of being scared of different foods. But it was the leaning in. When something felt scary, it wasn't to kind of push through or push back, or it was the leaning in and listening. That's what we miss a lot of the times in this journey. And I see that in all of my clients. We try to find solutions outside. We try to fix it. So we try another diet. Like, if you're tracking, like if you're in a restrictive diet, you're hanging on to intuitive eating, and you're finding and you're grabbing onto these external things and people that what people tell you to do. You're looking for an answer, for someone to tell you what to do to not be there anymore. And what we miss is the listening to what's happening on the inside. Because if you're feeling that, if you're feeling in an insecure place, or if you're feeling like your relationship with food or your body is really strained, it's coming back to yourself and starting to get curious about the things that are not working anymore. Because if you're feeling like, if you have a light bulb, it's like, I don't want to feel like that anymore. That's what set off my journey, my healing journey. It was like, I don't want to feel like this anymore. And then I started exploring initially. I started exploring it into, again, someone else tell me what to do. But what I learned in the last couple of years, what really transformed everything for me, was to start getting curious about how you're feeling, what's happening for you, where actually do you want to go? And what, that's the most important one, what brings you joy? Because we miss that. We think we do the things, all the things that bring us joy, but we do the things that should bring us joy instead of the ones that really make us happy.
So I love this. Okay. So sounds like some intuition, right? Start eating intuitively. And the question, I'm not going to claim credit. The guy's name's Ronan. I don't know how to say his last name. He's from Mind Valley, but he says, when you go in the fridge and open it, and so I used to do this. I probably still do it, but I'm good at walking away. But open the fridge like 50 times a day, like the food inside is going to change, right? We already know what's in it. But he said, next time when you go to the fridge, instead of saying, what am I going to eat? Ask, what does my body want? Or what does my body need?
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, you know what? I don't actually need anything. I'm just repeating the same pattern I've been doing for however long.
Exactly. Yes, that is a beautiful question. What does my body need? What do I need in this moment? Right? We forget to check in with ourselves. We check on our kids. We check on our husband. We check on our friends. What do you need? And we forget to ask ourselves the question of, what do I need? What does my body need? Because, and if you're someone that keeps going to the fridge and looking for something, that usually means that you're not actually looking for food. There's something else that you need out of that moment. Maybe you're bored. Maybe you're looking for some excitement. But when you ask the questions like, what do I need? What's happening? What am I feeling? That's how you get to start breaking out of that that cycle, that pattern.
Yeah. It sounds almost like there's like an underlying cause beyond that. So like there's a root cause that we have to get to first. Is that kind of...
There's always a root cause. There's always a root cause. And that's what I keep, like, as I work, because like I said, I specialize, like you said, I specialize in food freedom and body image and even exercise. I mean, all of those are a symptom. Like if you're struggling with your body, if you're struggling with food, if you're struggling with even like exercise or discipline or, you know, commitment, following through, it's all a symptom. It just manifests in a food way or in a body image way. It actually has nothing to do with food or your body. More so, like you said, there's that root cause, and a lot of it comes down to us not listening. And there's something being, you know, programmed beliefs that we picked up along the way, are placing our self-worth into the external things. And I just had a powerful conversation on with someone about that and how we inadvertently let other people decide how to feel, how to look, how to live our life. And when you start struggling with things, that's just, it's not a failure of whatever sort, which we, again, tend to believe that if I can't follow through on something, I failed. But more so when you start getting curious, it's a, okay, why is, like, what makes that hard for me? Why is that not working for me? Maybe it's actually not something that I want to go for. And then starting to explore even deeper, again, coming back to those cores, is like, why do I want to go there? Why do I want to lose weight? Why do I want to change my, why do I want to change this and that, that about myself?
100%. So the girl was saying, she wants to lose, she's going to Thailand, so she wants to lose 15 pounds by this date and blah, blah, blah. And then I'm thinking in my head, you're setting yourself up, like, because she was like in a month too, right? And I'm like, you're setting yourself up for no good. So I asked her, why? So, well, I want to feel good in my body. And I'm like, well, wouldn't that be a much better goal than losing 15 pounds just to feel good in your body?
Exactly.
And she's like, oh, I never thought of it like that. So I got a couple quotes that just, obviously, it's perfect timing. One I posted yesterday and one 2 days ago. So the second time you said, it's almost like we're searching outside. Really, it's an inside job. And so that quote from 2 days ago was, happiness is a mindset for your journey, not the result of your destination. That's from Sean Acor. And the book is called The Happiness Advantage. And then today was, you're reminding me of Stoic kind of when you're talking about discipline, but Marcus Aurelius. Look well into thyself. There is the source of strength which will always spring up if thou wilt always look. And so again, we're looking outside for the answers, and really just the answers are in you already.
Exactly, exactly. Coming back to yourself. And I think we get, as the world programs us to like be on this default, I don't want to call it lazy, but like efficient way. Like we don't, we'd rather have other people decide for us what's happening instead of us create our journey. And then we think that, like you said, with the first quote, is that we have to work so hard to be happy, to get to a happy spot. And that happiness really becomes a struggle if we're letting other people dictate how we're living our life. But when we come back to ourselves, that's when we discover that happiness has always been there. That confidence is all, whatever the feeling that you're looking for, to create, it's always been there. And once you discover that, the journey becomes so much easier.
Yeah, for sure. There's a guy named Ryan Holiday. I'm listening to an audiobook of his now. I think he's called The Daily Stoic, but he says something like hunger pains. We get hunger pains and then we like, right away, we need to go eat and order food, and the food comes within minutes. And it's like, we don't stop to consider, like, is it okay, like, if I don't eat right now? You just feel the hunger and then you go eat, right? And yeah. It's like, man, if you ever do fasting, you realize your body can go a long time without food, and it's probably more beneficial.
The instant gratification is real. The instant, like, it's not only we want results really fast, but also, like you said, everything that's not happening in an instant becomes a threat. So if there is something that we're not comfortable, like hunger or insecurity or anger, or, you know, like coming back to like the emotions, sort of like we're in this fix it mentality. We want to fix everything right away, because if this doesn't go away, then I can't feel good. And we forget that, like you said, there's wisdom and intelligence and power in being okay with whatever you're experiencing for a second, to gain insight first. Because if you start doing things right away, those decisions aren't based in wisdom. They're based in fear. They're based in a reactionary response. And when you wait a little bit, like you said, with the fridge, with the hunger, with the boredom, right? Like, if you wait a second, and when you can like reconsider and realize that even though I'm hungry or insecure or scared, I'm okay, then I can more clearly see what's the next most intelligent step. Like in the diet mentality, or like in the diet mentality, as soon as I start feeling uncomfortable in my body, for example, I need to fix it right away. So what do I do? That fear says, oh, you're going to go on a diet on Monday. And then you backtrack. And then by Sunday, you're off the diet. And then the same feeling comes up. And then you go, like, fear-based decision, you go on a diet. Because we think that discomfort, for example, that insecurity is a bad thing. So we rush to get out of there. But if you stop and realize that it's not that scary, and it doesn't have to make decisions for me, it will lead you to a more empowered decision that you want to make, the more empowered next step that will actually make you feel better and not that default one.
Yeah, that's very well said. I love it. I guess I have some questions written up just in case. You kind of answered one, but I'd like you maybe to expand on it or talk about it. So it's like, how can I differentiate between healthy body goals and unrealistic expectations? Because like, hey, I'm going to lose 50 pounds in 2 weeks. No, it's not realistic, right? But it's right. The end is that you want to feel better in your body. That should be the goal. But how would you differentiate those two?
That's a very good question. And a quote that I came up with kind of answers that, and like at least where I think about it, is that our ideal, like, we don't get to choose our ideal body. Our ideal body chooses us when we're living an aligned life. Something I came up with a couple years ago, and the reasoning behind it is that I'm all for body goals. I'm all for body goals. You can choose whatever goal you want to choose. And there's a difference in choosing a goal for your body, for example, from a place that you think you have to. If there is I have to lose 50 pounds and in order to feel happy, that is an unrealistic expectation. That is not a goal that's going to lead you into being successful, because it's inherently rooted in a false chase. Because like you said, it's the feeling good, like the body doesn't necessarily make us feel good. It's the actions, how we live our life, how we make decisions outside of our bodies, that really cultivate that feeling. And through cultivating that okayness with your body, with yourself, and with whoever you are, and detaching yourself from your body goal, even if you decide to lose 20 pounds or whatever, that goal will feel differently because it's not a have to anymore. It's a, I just want to see what happens. And even if I don't get there, I'm still going to be okay. So it's the differentiating between, am I attaching my, is the goal that I like for my body coming from a fearful, worth attached place? Or is it just out of fun and curious and experimental way?
Brilliant. Yeah, that's so good. So is it coming out of fear? Because the second it's in fear, you're making the wrong decision right away because you're living from fear. And then the other way, is this an experiment, a project? Is it something I want? I'm sure I've said it before, so I apologize to listeners, but I ran 2 marathons last year and I purposely did it, one fat adapted and one carb loading, just to see the difference.
Yeah.
The times were like 20% different. And the pictures were so different. Like if you see at the finish line, it's like, oh my God, they're two different people. But that was, it wasn't like I'm going on this fat adapted diet because I need to lose weight or any reason. Mm-hmm. I was totally purposely experimenting. And then back around to the discipline thing, the results happen, but the discipline is almost, it's about keeping promises to yourself if you're going that route, which you don't have to. And I think, once you start keeping little promises, and it doesn't have to be food. This could be talking about making your bed in the morning, whatever.
Exactly. Right?
But little promises, once you start keeping them to yourself, you gain that confidence back. Where if we're talking about food, you might have lost it, or body image, you might have lost it because of the external pressures, because of what the media says, and because of the Hollywood. If you look at all these magazines, they're not even real. It's all spray. You know what I mean? It's
right. Airbrushed and photoshopped and all the other things. Yeah. I love that you brought the discipline part because that's one of my favorite topics to talk about too. Because that, yes, the promises are big. And like you said, it doesn't have to start with eating a vegetable or, you know, not eating chocolate, but more so like if the promises stem from how you actually want to live your life. So something that, again, detaching yourself from someone else said. So that's what I see a lot of people struggle with. Like even if they make promises to themselves, they keep breaking them. And then they think that they're failing because they keep breaking the promises. But what's curious around that and what I would encourage people to get curious is instead of berating yourself, if you can't fulfill a promise to yourself, is to, again, get curious and ask questions. Because that promise might not be the right promise for you. It might have been the right promise for Becky or the influencer from Instagram who's probably not following through on that promise as well. And you just took it as your truth, right? But that promise might not be aligned for you. So that discipline, the biggest part of like that I've discovered about discipline and staying on track and keeping those promises to yourself, which I hate the word on track, but there is no track. There's various roads that you can take. If the actions that you take are actually fulfilling and you're finding purpose in them and you're finding joy and they're in capacity with your life, not Becky's or sort of like Instagram fitfluence or whatever told you, it's checking in with yourself. And those promises are going to be so much easier to keep because they're coming from you, not someone else.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I think it's such a good point that we need to, you said detachment a couple times, right? Mm-hmm. And so now I'm starting to think of like the Dalai Lama, Buddhist philosophy. It's that's how, like when people are suffering, it's usually because they're so attached to identity. So I was in chronic pain forever. I facilitate chronic pain groups and the people are identified. This is me. I'm like, that's not you. That's just what's happening to you. Mm-hmm. And they're so attached and they're suffering because of it. And I'm like, you need to like step back and realize like there's other parts to you, not just that. That's what's happening. But like detachment, when you talk about it, it makes me think of like the Dalai Lama's got it right. All the suffering comes from being attached to a meaning that might not even be real or probably isn't.
all meetings are arbitrary, right? Like everything is a construct. Everything is a I just asked someone, someone came to me, is like, I want to feel confident. And I was like, okay, define that for me. Like make, give me your definition, not your mom's, not social media's, your definition of confidence. And she was stumped because she was like, I don't know. I've never thought about it like that. But coming back to the detachment, huge. I mean, that is one of the most vital things. And I think that's what people are scared of, is that detachment. It's like, if I detach myself from a personality that I have or a goal that I have, right? Like even with its weight loss or my body or making like millions of dollars, like some people are attached to that, right? It's scary because it makes us feel like, okay, if I detach myself from this, then what's left? How am I going to feel if I don't have this, or if I'm not that person, or whatever that is for you? And I think it's one of the biggest lessons, is that realizing that, like you said, the attachment creates this struggle. Because if we're attached to something, one, it's never about the thing that we're creating. It's about how we feel, or how we think that thing is going to make us feel. We're chasing a feeling. And the truth is, we never have to chase a feeling because they're already in here. We get to create it right here where you're sitting. And once we realize that, even if, let's say, weight loss, right? If you go for a weight loss goal with the realization that I do that because I want to feel better in my body, I want to feel more confident, you start cultivating that confidence and detach yourself from the goal of weight loss, you'll realize that you get to feel confident even if you never get to that weight loss. It makes it so much easier because there are so many other ways that you can take to get to that ultimate feeling that you want to get. And if you're attached to just one and something crumbles and that goes off the map, that then you feel entirely lost.
Yeah. So Anti-Fragile, there's a book, Nassim Taleb, but Anti-Fragile is like that, right? How can we, if we lose that, if we lose this, use running as an example, 2 points to that. So if someone would ask me after, now you're a marathoner? Like, no, I'm a runner. Like, what's the difference? Well, a marathon is a goal. I might get it, might not. But runner is just, it is still part of an identity, but it's not the same, right? I'm a runner, so I'm running. Marathon is just one of these little dopamine hits along the way. But the whole goal is to be a runner. And then the other part of that was, I forget, so we'll just move on. I guess this is the Phase 4 podcast. It's Phase 4, the six-phase meditation by Vishen Lakhiani. It's all about creating your future 3 years out. So where's Anna 3 years from today?
3 years from today, Anna is sitting in Minnesota in her new house. Anna is coaching. Anna has moved, and Anna has a family. Really, but all in all, again, coming back to the detachment, it doesn't matter where I am, what I do. I keep following my life through enjoyment. That is my 3, 5, 10, 20-year goal, is to stay connected and to stay true to myself and to keep following with joy, because life is too short to not enjoy it. And if someone wants to take that joy away from you, they're not a good, like, that you don't need that person in your life. And it's just not forgetting to live and lead with curiosity and compassion and joy.
Curiosity, compassion, and joy, that's a good way to live. That's going to keep you growing, keep you firing and wiring and firing new circuits, and it's going to help. So nutrition and mindset coaching. So is there a spiritual element to this?
So many elements to this. It's not just mindset. It's not just external behavior. That's like 1% of it. It's again, it's all about that connection back to yourself, coming back home, coming back to yourself, coming back to being one with all of your emotions, all of your experiences, creating space for your subconscious, bringing your subconscious to your consciousness, and just it's such a beautiful journey of rediscovering. Yeah, remembering exactly who you were, because we start as pure human beings and we forget that. And we forget that we're still pure human beings. We just forget that. And it gets muddied and clouded and shadowy. And it's just clarifying that place and coming back to that pure being. And then you get to see like what's possible for you, which is everything. And no, like I said, no matter fitness, mindset, nutrition, whatever, you might even realize that, you know, you defined yourself as a fitness person, and that's the last thing you want to do once you go through that rediscovery. So there's so many beautiful places, like pieces of that journey, not just the surface ones.
Yeah. And just one more part about the detachment is, like, if you're identified with so many things and then you lose that part, you're screwed, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm only identified as a runner or something and nothing else, then what happens when I get older? I'm kind of screwed if I can't run.
Exactly. Like, it brought me back to my journey, because I have a marathon under my belt too, and then my feet decided that no longer enjoy pavement. So if I were ever attached to my accomplishments as a runner, I would be really screwed right now.
Yeah, I hear you with the pavement thing. I love the trails for those long runs, because the pavement doesn't feel too good.
No, it does not. Not supportive.
So, girl, how about for the rest of 2024, how can people get out of their own way and crush their goals?
Ask yourselves what makes you happy. First, like, ditch all, like, I have an awareness of your goals and start asking questions around your goals. Why, bring the question that every, ask yourselves why 5 times. Why do I want this? Why do I want that? Why do I want that? Until you cannot answer that even more. And start really tuning into yourself and start. Answer the question, is this really what I want, or is it something that I think I should want? And if you start there, and if you start checking in with yourself as you're setting goals, and if that's something that you truly want, there is a lot of excitement, and if it really lights you up, that's the thing that you're going to accomplish. And no matter how scary it is, you're going to go for it.
Yeah, 100%. And that fear, that's a signal, right? Your body's like, this is important. Let's go. Let's do it.
Yes, exactly. Fear is an inspiration.
Yeah. And then let's talk about Find Your Happy Method. Can you expand on it and share a little bit more about your business and the Find Your Happy Method?
Yes, I love my Find Your Happy Method. So again, I'm a happiness and confidence coach, and my Find Your Happy Method is in the in-depth one-to-one program. So I guide a whole transformation from inside out. And you've heard that so many times. So, but it basically, it's more than food. It's more than body. What I want for you is to bring acceptance and okayness to everything that's happening for you. That acceptance piece is one that I see missing in the industry, in any industry, especially in the fitness industry, is that we go from awareness and we go into action, but we never actually bring acceptance into everything that's happening. So within the Find Your Happy Method, I help you cultivate acceptance and okayness, that contentment, no matter what is happening. There can be tornadoes all around you, and you're going to be okay. So you're going to feel okay when insecurity comes over. You're going to feel okay when there's anxiety, panics, whatever the overwhelming feelings are. And through that okayness, that's where you, and acceptance and moving away from judgment and shame and guilt, that's where you start really creating the life that you want, because that's where you can start seeing clearly, is this what I want, or is this what my fear, my programming one. So we reprogram not using guilt and shame and judgment, because those don't work. Those are fear-based, but using that curiosity, that acceptance, and that compassion.
Yeah, those fear, guilt, shame, blame, all those lower energy centers are mostly patterns, and like they're just someone told you something. It could have been a teacher when you were 8 years old told you something and you took it the wrong way, and they didn't, you know what I mean? That teacher doesn't even remember who you are, and now you've gone through your whole life filling this in. So
exactly.
I like that, because I think seeing coaching, there's like a, it's not really talked about, right? We're talking about, oh, this is how you go get your goal, and this is what you got to do this, try this, have you done this? But like, there's a part of that where like, you have to integrate the shadow. Carl Jung says integrate the shadow. Mm-hmm. So there is that thing, and those things that happened to you before, you have to integrate it. And that's why I say your story is your superpower, because there's stuff that happened that got you to here today. And not all of the stuff that happened to get you here today was good, mm-hmm. but that's okay. And so I think acceptance is huge. I really like that. I think as we begin to wind down, if this episode resonates with you, please like, subscribe, share, follow, but no hard sell. And if you feel like leaving a review, that would be great. And I guess maybe a couple more questions before we wrap up. But let's say I had a family member who is struggling with body image issues. Well, how can I support that person?
Very good question, and one that's really important, because what I see a lot of the times, and we as supportive, wanting to be a supportive human being, we try to convince that other person that they're not feeling the way that they're feeling. So it's like someone comes to you and say, oh my God, I feel so gross, I feel fat, I need to do this. And we start into, from a very innocent and supportive place, we want to be a good human being, right? And we want to be a supportive person. We say, oh no, you're beautiful. What are you talking about, right? But what that creates is that person doesn't feel seen. It invalidates what they feel. They don't feel seen or heard by you. So if you have a family member that's struggling with body image or whatever else, I really encourage to see them and validate their feelings, instead of saying, no, what are you talking about? You're beautiful. More so like, thank you for sharing that with me. How can I help you?
Yeah, that's great. I love that. That's so important, right? Because you see it a lot, especially with women, right? They'll be like, oh, that's such a beautiful dress, I love it. And like, oh, yours too. And it's like, no, just say thank you. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It sounds fake almost, right?
Right. Yeah. It's really hard for us to accept compliments. So it's easy to like give them back. But that's also another thing. Like if someone gives you a compliment and you're struggling with that, that's okay to notice. That just means there's a part of you that doesn't feel deserving, but it's okay to receive that. But it's just seeing other people for what they feel. We get to feel the way, everybody gets to feel the way they feel. We can't change that. We only can get curious around that, and we can support them in whatever way they want to feel supported, instead of pushing the way that we think they want to be supported onto them.
Right. Listening instead of talking, it sounds like, is the tool needed right there.
Most of the time.
And so before I ask my final question, is there anything you want to share, any inspiration, messages, any upcoming events or projects that you have working, anything about your business, personal life, wherever you want to go, you can take it away.
Yeah. I want to share a quote, actually, or unless that's your last question, then I will share that. But it's something like as in the body image space, and it's something that you probably picked up on as we were talking about here, but it comes from my mentor. And paraphrasing a little bit, because I don't remember the entire quote, but it's something that really transformed my relationship with insecurity. And it's that confidence doesn't exist in the absence of insecurity, but rather in the embrace of insecurity, which really talks about we're not here to get rid of things. We're here to embrace things, especially the ones that we don't like. So that's one of the most powerful quotes I've ever heard. And it transformed a lot of things in my brain.
I love it. And so if you're sharing this with your tribe, there's a quote that might help them too, is Viktor Frankl. And it says, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space, we have the power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Mm-hmm. And it's just like that. Oh, it's
It's so good. Yeah.
Because it's a little tiny space, right? Should I go for the walk or stay in bed? Just that little 1 second makes a difference in your whole life.
Yeah, it does. And you get to feel into that, just like that fridge. You get to create that space and feel into it.
It's so fridge. Go ahead.
No, and just like if sharing about upcoming events too. So I just want to throw it out there that I will have a Confident You cohort coming up, my third cohort of my small group program. So if that's something that whoever is listening is interested in, we're going to be starting sometime. I haven't ironed out the details, but it's going to be sometime in February. And it's a very small group experience centered around creating that acceptance and creating or stepping into that confidence that you might have been looking for a long time. So it's called Confident You, and it's a 6-week small group, but very intimate experience that will be coming up. So if someone is interested, they can reach out definitely.
Amazing. Those smaller groups I find are way more value and
I love it. It's like 5 to 6 people, and it really lets us be in a very safe space where we get to share the stories and transform the stories and kind of use that collective energy too, because that's very important to use that. Lean into the community that you have.
Yeah. And so my final question is, how can people reach you?
You can find me on Instagram. That is the easiest way for me, for you to find me. So at Ada Andes. So my first name, last name, really easy. And that's the easiest way you can find me. And if you want to learn more about what I do, you can also reach out on my website or find my website at fyhappy.com. So find your happy, fyhappy.com.
Amazing. Ada, thank you so much for today. This was a really powerful conversation and fun, just like you started us off at the beginning with.
Thank you for chatting. This was incredible. All of the beautiful quotes too. So I hope that someone out there on the other side was meant to tune in today and hear this message today. So thank you for having me.